On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Tall Can Sports Podcast. You can give us a follow on Twitter at Tall Can Audio, facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. Find all the archives, tallcanaudio.com. Go figure. How's it going, Rob?
Top notch. Thank you very much for asking.
You're welcome, man. It's the least I can do.
For sure.
I wanted to lead this off by asking you what your level of familiarity was with Finnish traffic laws.
Zero, as it turns out.
Okay. Alexander Barkov pulled over earlier this week for speeding. In Finland, your fines are tied to your salary.
Oof.
As opposed to a standard across-the-board fine.
Well, it is a very social society.
I kind of like it, to be honest with you, and I got a couple of notes here on it, but this is going to cost him somewhere in the neighborhood of 140 grand American.
Yikes. Would you feel the same way if you were making fat bank?
No.
of course
what are the
not.
Odds that's going to happen? So,
yeah, I guess.
The counter argument, of course, I know you know, being what's $85 to a guy making $6 million a year, right? It's the equivalent to you and I finding a nickel and flicking it at the traffic cop and
throwing a couple of bills out the window. Get lost, loser!
Right. So this is apparently a thing that's happened before. I hadn't heard this until reading about this one, that Teemu Selanne was buzzed on this a few decades ago.
And he is a...
He loves his sports cars.
And he loves to drive fast.
Right. I guess somewhere in the mid-90s, he and some buddies were street racing back home in Finland. It cost him 85 grand, cost each of his buddies 180 bucks.
You know what, lads?
These are college.
I'll just pick up the tab. What do you say? Put your $170 on my,
I guess both his buddies were still in college, and so they were making nothing. And, of course, he's making fat American cash. And, it hit him hard. But that would be enough to cause a rift between, you know.
Yeah.
I guess if you grew up in that society and you understood that it's tied to your earnings last year and whatever else, maybe you just understand.
But. And again, they're very, I know most of the Scandinavians, right, the countries are very heavy sort of social leaning in terms of education, healthcare.
Right.
Finland, for sure, mandatory military service.
Yeah, I don't think I knew that until the last couple of years. And I'm sure, again, it stemmed from some kind of hockey thing. He couldn't, some kid couldn't come to North America till he finished his, or something like that.
Until he finished patrolling the Russian border, which is a rite of passage, I think, for all Finns.
Doesn't that seem out of date? Mandatory military service. Most of them don't ever see any real, you know, whatever, but you owe them a year or something.
No, I think it's best to be prepared.
Okay. I guess if you live next door to
small nations like that, yeah. Now, what's it going to do? It's like us getting all up in arms and saying to the Americans, we are trained. I have my 2 years of militia duty.
Right.
What you going to do about it? Yeah, I'm going to roll over and fart. I'm going to blast you right off the couch. That's what's going to happen.
There's just something that seems a little... I think the Swiss have to do... No, that sounds weird now that I've put that in there. But there is another. Maybe it's Latvia.
They have to spend
the
duty making chocolate and time in cuckoo clock factories.
But there is another country over there that's dealing with this a little. Maybe it's the Slovaks. Maybe it's whatever. But anyway, to me, that was kind of a fun, not for Barkov, but for everybody else, man, that's a fun.
And again, $85, if I got pinched, now it's likely more for me as well, not $140,000.
Right.
But, man, yeah, well, he's actually putting a couple kids through school, maybe putting his buddies through school.
Could be. Well, remember, that's Solani.
Okay.
Barkov got pinched by himself. It was Solani who was racing some friends. That was back in the mid-90s.
And, you wonder, you know, you look at Lindbergh, the Philly goalie who crashed his car and died back in the 80s. You look at the Danny Heatley incident that happened and the just all those things we talked about with Ray Emery. He had a Lamborghini.
Right.
Just you wonder how more of those stories don't go much far worse than just a $140,000 speeding ticket.
It's true, man. You feel invincible,
when you have
right?
All these young guys with all that cash,
all the money in the world, they've been, you know, kind of spoon fed everything for a long time, never had any real consequence.
Honestly, I'm getting a Ferrari and I'm firing out the tunes to Magnum PI. Can you think of anything cooler than that? Really? I know it's dated a bit, but
a little bit.
Always got the juices flowing on a Thursday night. You go, yeah.
It's a great scene from The Simpsons where Mr. Burns rolls up. He's finally going to be able to blow up the Simpsons house, and he's in there in a tank. He's like, I've waited so long to be able to do this. And he pushes a tape into the tape deck. Of course, this is from like 92 or whatever. And it starts off with that, dun, 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 and it cuts it, sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Smithers look up. Sorry, I think I taped over that. That'd be my go-to tune when I'm out there in my
sunshine lollipops.
Why not, man? Sounds like good times, doesn't it?
You know what? Honestly, I just called that up on the Google Home the other day.
Really?
Sunshine. Yeah, because it was stuck in my head. Now, there's something else to it. There's a third part to that.
Yeah. Everything is wonderful.
But it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's a terrible song.
Of course it is.
Okay. Well, there you go, man.
Where do you want to go next, man? To me, I sent you a text just after we wrapped up recording earlier this week. I think it was Sunday. It said, now that we're done, the Ticats have traded Johnny Manziel to Montreal Alouettes.
Not 40 minutes at a studio.
Right. Which is always how these things tend to roll. You know, we're planning to take a bit of a hiatus here that most of you people won't notice, but pulling the curtain back. I'm sure that's when Erik Karlsson's getting traded, and who knows, all the Blue Jays guys will be, Osuna will come back, and Habs getting dealt.
It does stretch over that crucial trade deadline for baseball. Now, of all the trade deadlines, baseball's is the most bullshit. Shit still seems to happen afterwards in baseball.
That's true.
You can talk about waiving and claiming and whatever else. It just never seems to happen.
And there's a couple of the bigwig baseball insiders that are saying people are absolutely interested in Osuna, but no one's calling until they see him. So all this talk that he'll never pitch for the Blue Jays again, which I fronted, I said Rogers won't allow that to happen.
I think we both were of the same mind.
Right. Apparently, you're either going to have to throw him away for nothing, or you're going to have to let him pitch and build his value back up a little bit.
Well, and the thing with Osuna is, if you're going to scrap it and you're going to rebuild – which to me they have to do now, you're 2 or 3 years away from absolutely needing a bona fide closer.
Right.
If you can get something for them, and now, as you've just said, maybe you can't.
Right.
But to me, I'm not sure if there's going to be issues when he does come back, if he ever does get charged with travel restrictions, that maybe he's best to be playing for the Dodgers or
any
somewhere
of
that,
the other 29 countries that aren't – or teams that aren't in Canada.
Right, and go, and not in the AL East, so you don't have to make as many trips here.
See that, man? The Rays just dealt and now I'm going to look like an idiot because I've forgotten his name, Aivado or something, to the Red Sox. The Orioles have dealt Zach Britton to the Yankees. The Jays have sent Steve Pierce, which, whatever, but to the Red Sox. Could we get some of these guys out of the fucking division, please? And someone, I said that on Twitter, and someone came back and said, what does it matter? They're all rentals and you're not doing anything this year. It matters because you're more likely to re-sign with a team after having had a taste of it for a couple of months.
Of winning.
Right. Now, or just getting comfortable in that city with that group, then maybe you would have been in the
really,
offseason.
And really, I don't think that the acquisition of Britton is that big a deal.
It's a weird one because
last time he was in a meaningful game, he didn't even get into the game.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe they just plan on bringing him in and sitting him there. Hey, look what we got. Oh, don't make me bring that out.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
but he is a little redundant to what they already have in the pen anyway.
Like Chapman, Green, Robertson, Holder, I think is his name.
Yep, do they need him? Probably not. But
I just need
can
my
they use
I just
him?
Need my sure. starter to go four.
Right. Well, that we've talked about it before, right? The Kansas tried to, and to a certain extent, even in the previous years, Cleveland have tried to kind of ride that.
Well, Cleveland did the year that 2016 or whatever that was.
Well, so did Kansas City.
Yeah, right? No, Kansas City used it effectively
to win a mediocre.
Mediocre. The rotation. Indians, the year that they beat the Jays, 2016, I believe.
Everybody
man, they
was
had
hurt.
They had 1.5 starting pitchers.
That's true.
And a guy that couldn't stop the bleeding, like literally couldn't stop bleeding.
Yeah, Trevor Bauer.
Not like bullshit Curt Schilling,
right?
With a little ketchup on the sock. This was actual spurting of blood.
I just wouldn't mind seeing some of these guys getting shipped to the NL West or something, right? Rather than to Boston and New York.
But. Yeah, and I wonder about that Yankees team, right? In terms of their starting pitching.
Yeah.
Man, they're six back. Six-ish or so.
Sure, but.
And I think as of the time of recording, they've lost 10 of 20, which is for a team that fancies itself to be.
Right.
Man, they're
could also say they've won 10 of 20.
Yeah.
It's 500.
I was gonna say, the Jays would love that. I'm not sure a World Series contender would be happy with that.
Blue Jays, and we've talked about this before, and it continues to hold up. 6 games over .500 against everybody but the Yanks and the Red Sox. So speaking of wanting to get out of a division.
They are a permanent 1-2 against everybody. It just seems like every series they run into, you're like, yeah,
but
how can you still
but
be
they're
just,
not.
Like, I know. How can you still just be 6 games under .500, but yet you seem to lose every single series you're in? Or it just seems like that.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Like,
what if the Orioles coming back to town? I think we have about 10 or 12 more with them.
Yeah.
They're horrible.
Well, so I saw that before the All-Star game was as they had shipped out Machado and now Zach Britton, that the Jays, now they've already played 3 of them right after the All-Star break, but had 12 games left against Baltimore. We're going to get above .500.
Right? I'm going to say there's 8-1 right there left to go. If there was 12, they swept that other one. And so you go, 8-1 down the stretch.
More of those guys, please.
Yeah. Somebody who sucks worse than us. but if you look at realistically, Houston, I think their one Achilles heel is the bullpen, right? Maybe that's a landing spot for Osuna.
I doubt it. My thing is going to be, I see him going somewhere that I don't know that he's still controllable for a while, right? So I could see somebody who has maybe fallen out of it this year, but plans to be good for a while, maybe taking a shot at him, right? Like it doesn't necessarily have to be a rental, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's more like a small Kansas City, Milwaukee kind of small market, go rehabilitate your image a little bit, get your game back. I don't know the owners of each of those teams, but it's probably going to be a 70-year-old white guy who doesn't really care what you did to your girlfriend, right? Rather than a major corporation like it is here that's
well,
publicly
Milwaukee,
traded.
Well, and Milwaukee seems to be the best bet then.
Right. So,
in terms of it, but who
yeah,
knows?
They seem pretty tolerant right now of
yeah.
Well,
you've
Josh
already got,
Ader.
Yeah,
and,
you've already got one guy in there who's
sure.
who's throwing everybody
right.
under the bus.
So
women, blacks, yeah. everything.
Gays,
well, whatever. I just don't
he
like
doesn't
anybody.
Discriminate, which is interesting well, with his go. Hate. Right?
Yeah, so. Ader.
Yeah.
Which is very ironic. Or perhaps not.
So I think we started that with Johnny Manziel to the Alouettes. Somehow we ended up back in still has not played a down, I don't believe, of regular season football for Hamilton. He won't start this week. Cards on the table, we record this Wednesday night. It'll come out on Friday morning. I believe Montreal is the Thursday night game. So we're recording this before Montreal plays, but they've announced that he won't start this week.
Right. And nor should you, really.
Right. That's right.
They're bringing this guy in. It's going to be a huge boost in terms of ticket sales. They have alluded to the fact that he's comfortable with a package of 6 to 8 plays, and you'll see him.
Oh, yeah. I think he starts next week.
Oh, no, I think you see him in the Eskimo game.
Oh, okay, okay.
He's not starting, as you
right.
said, but to me, it's a win-win, right? The Eskimos are going to run over him.
Sure.
Flop, 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 just like that. And, like, this is the team in the Alouettes that is worst-ranked offense, worst-ranked defense.
Right.
So I don't care what happens with those two new O-linemen and a new receiver and Manziel in there. I don't know what that's going to do, but your defense still blows.
Yes. Yeah, they've definitely brought him in to play. What's the guy's name right now? Is it Vernon Adams?
Vernon Adams. Then there's another
yeah.
Stiltwater, Stilton, Geronimo Stilton, something.
I don't think any of that was correct, but we'll keep swatting at it. Wait,
are you familiar with Geronimo Stilton?
No.
He's a mouse detective in kids' novels.
All right. Well, then somebody out there smarter than me enjoyed that.
For sure. Exactly. As I worked my way through it.
Sure. They say he'll start next week. I'm interested, before we go any further into the deal and what's been going on there, are you convinced he's going to sell tickets there?
I'm absolutely convinced.
Yeah?
That's a team that's just been dying for a quarterback since
they
since
have
Calvillo.
Used 13 quarterbacks since Calvillo left in 2014. That's 3.5 seasons, 13 quarterbacks. And at one point I had written down the list, and I'm going – I don't need this. I could read this list on the air, but most of these names no one has ever heard of. I can just make them up.
Kelly Schluchuk.
Like all
Jerry.
Rocky Cato was – okay, I know we've heard of Rocky,
okay,
but that
say.
Was the most noteworthy of these names, right?
That was just last year, though, I think. I think there's a recency bias there.
Sure. But we're only talking about going back 3 seasons. Yeah, like, if I said Cavis Reed was one of them, he's the GM who made the deal, but you'd go, well, maybe he was one of the quarterbacks. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, it's been brutal.
That's what I say. Larry Flint.
Nice. That is a list that they are desperate to stop adding to, right? And so you take a shot here. They trade 2 first-round picks when they already don't have their 2019 first-round pick. And
they don't have a first-round pick till 2022.
That's right.
And this is in a league where you live and die
oh, yeah.
on your quarterbacks and your Canadians.
So they already didn't have their 2019 pick. I forget which deal that was a part of. But then they trade 2 of them to Hamilton for 2020 and 2021. And if I'm Cavis Reed, the GM, I get it. Yes, I am making huge, huge problems down the road for this team. But if this doesn't work,
my ass is fired.
I won't be there, right? It'll be someone else's problem.
Yeah. That is, you're bringing in name recognition and power, right? At this point, it's still to be determined what that means in terms of on-field play.
Yeah.
It's going to get a buzz. But, man, we don't even know. And the beauty is, if he is really good and you get a year and a half out of him,
yep.
There's a good chance he's gone.
Well, yeah, right? Obviously, he'd like to get back to the NFL. I think you're probably hoping that he's just good enough to stay.
Right? Yeah, you know what? Now, somebody said, brought up a great point. Doug Flutie, who had ran through his sort of 4 or 5 years in the NFL before being discarded.
Yeah.
He was an absolute, you know, stand-up, sterling kind of a guy.
Right.
He was here 10 years before he got another crack at it. And he won MOPs and Grey Cups. And,
yep.
Like, he absolutely stood on his head, was a good guy, didn't have any of the baggage, and still had to wait 10 years.
Yeah, and as you've said, dominated this league. Like, if that's the road that Johnny Manziel is hoping to follow, whew. Like, it's not just show up, have a couple of good seasons, and
back, baby.
Right. It's the perception down there for players and managers that have never been in the CFL is that this is minor league. And I get it. You can make that argument because the best players in the world are absolutely NFL.
But it's
a hard game. And players who come up here expecting to dominate universally say, fuck, right? I had no idea.
Well, you heard Johnny Manziel say in his opening interview in Montreal, he said, honestly, way faster and way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever his name was, we went through this before, Lindley, whoever the third string quarterback.
Yep. For Ottawa, Travis or Trevor Lindley.
Travis, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Anyways, he was the one saying last year, you know, what would you, because it was his 1 year, came up and he'd started a playoff game for Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, no, the advice I would give to anybody that comes up here, humble yourself. Learn the game. It's hard. So you're now seeing that live in Johnny Manziel.
Well, and Mike Riley said the same thing when this was all making the news, right? That when Johnny Manziel was first coming up here, Mike Riley came off like a bit of a douche, but he was standing up for the league, so be it, and said, yeah, we've seen big-name American players come up here before. You'll learn. This isn't easy, right? Like, it's...
Yeah.
And
an American guy.
Right. And there's all kinds of... Yeah. Because when it's a Canadian guy who stands up, he's just defending the league. When it's an American who comes up, he's been through it, right?
You learned it.
One of the things about Manziel is he doesn't have a gun, right, in terms of an arm. And when you have to throw that far side pass, it's 25 yards out there, right? Like, yeah. The defense has a ton of time to get
and,
on
and,
you.
And that is the one of the largest differences,
yeah,
is just how wide it is out in the flats,
yeah,
right. And you put that ball up,
there's a ton
of potential
time.
For the big pick six is just hanging out there. If I asked you off the top of your head, I had a conversation just this morning actually. Somebody was saying to me, what's the big deal with this Johnny Manziel guy? And I said,
who pronounces it that
yeah.
way?
Okay. Yeah. Well, and so I'm sort of, I don't know. Like, what are you really going to say now?
Yeah.
It's to me, for a sports fan, it's so long, right? And so yeah. I'm explaining, I'm sort of breaking it down, going, yeah, Heisman Trophy winner. And the person's like, Heisman Trophy? How much do you have to suck if you've won a Heisman and you've ended up in the CFL?
Hmm.
And I said, well, do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how many former Heisman Trophy winners have played here?
I would never be able to give you a number, but I bet it's higher than most people think. Because the college game doesn't always translate to the NFL game, right? It's a different skill set, similar, not similar, but in the same way that the CFL is a different skill set, the college game can be a different. So I don't know.
So I'm sitting there going, well, for sure – now Manziel is going to be one.
Yeah.
Doug Flutie is the other one. And the other one that comes to mind for me, Andre Ware.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Argo for a while.
So I looked into it today.
Yeah.
And would you be surprised to find out that there is 8
right
former Heisman Trophy winners who've played. Now, I don't care about Bobby or Jimmy Vessels.
From like 1946.
Who won the 1952, who came up and played here.
Sure.
You know the name Johnny Rogers?
I have heard the name.
Okay, running back, he came up.
Coming out of Brian Williams' mouth, probably.
Yeah, and so he was an Alouette in the 70s. He won at least one MOP. He was dominant up here. Then you had Flutie. Then in the 90s, there was a whole bunch of guys.
Rocket Ismail?
Nope. Ricky Williams, though.
Nice. Another Argo.
Troy Smith.
Yeah.
Andre Ware.
They all signed with the Argos.
Eric Crouch.
Real? I don't remember the Eric Crouch CFL stint.
Yes. Well, I think he was in Toronto.
Of course he was.
Or Saskatchewan. One of the two.
All right.
He was playing. His first game was the game that Ricky Williams broke his arm in.
Okay.
How coincidental is that? So anyways, Troy Smith, if I haven't said him, who honestly, who cares about that guy? Like, what? But so really, there is...
It's not uncommon.
It's not that uncommon. And that's what, as I was explaining to this person this morning, it comes down to, as you said, style, skill set, right? Guys who are scrambling, guys who have great success against Southern Missouri Tech.
Sure.
On a Saturday afternoon when you're rolling up 70 points.
Yep.
Yeah, there is none of that when you get into the NFL. And so you got to go, okay, my legs, my lack of height, you know, are only going to get me so far in this game.
I was watching Jim Popp on Primetime Sports the other day. And for those who don't know, former GM in Montreal, current GM in Toronto. And he was asked by Richard Deitch, who's now co-hosting their long time of Sports Illustrated. He said, because they're getting ready to go down and as all CFL GMs do and kind of hang around outside NFL camps, right, and just scout. He said, when you're talking about college players or guys who are now in the NFL, but he said, is there a certain conference in college football that you find translates to the CFL the best? Which I thought was a really interesting question.
For sure it is.
And, you know, they named some of the big ones and – what he said was, he said, I don't know why. He said, I don't know if anyone consciously talks about this. But he said, it's the Mountain West, which I don't know that I'd heard of.
Does it have South Dakota in it?
Right. But he said, there are currently five quarterbacks in the CFL from Mountain West schools. And you just go, I don't know. Is it the way they play? Some of it maybe is the weather, right? Like
Drew Tate.
Tell me, I'm a Drew Tate.
Yeah, was a Idaho guy,
right.
I think. Yeah, so he's out there.
But I think even Trevor Harris is from out there.
Yeah, I don't know.
He listed them, but there was four or five quarterbacks currently on CFL rosters all out of this little conference that no one talks about. And he said,
is Colorado Buffaloes in that?
Denver's in that.
Why wouldn't they be?
Just interesting to see, you know, he said, I don't remember anybody sitting down and talking about they play the game the way we play the game. We just, you know, somehow it's probably worth looking at when you end up with that many quarterbacks, especially.
We're airing
right?
it like, in.
Must be. Air's a little thinner, getting out there and just gunning it through.
Get it up.
So in terms of this deal, the two first round picks. Chris Williams is, you know, pretty good receiver going the other way. And I forget the name of the fourth guy, but with the two picks that went the other way.
A defensive lineman, I think.
And I remember all kinds of talk about him being ratio busting, but...
Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is it.
So...
A Canadian starter on the defensive line.
So Hamilton has brought in a reasonably top-end receiver... without giving up anybody that was playing for them.
Yeah, oft injured, underperforming since he left Ottawa. His last year and a half.
Yep.
Pretty underwhelming, Chris Williams.
But Johnny Manziel was going to, if they wanted to keep him next year, if they wanted to keep his rights, was going to cost them a fairly large offseason bonus. He wasn't starting for them. They were still riding Jeremiah Masoli. I think I kind of like this. And they got the two first-round picks. I like this for Hamilton.
Oh, absolutely. As you've said, you've traded away a guy who wasn't playing for you.
Yeah. for all kinds of pieces. And for Montreal, I don't think I like it, but I get it. I take a shot, right?
Wicked desperation.
It reeks of desperation. And like you say, 13 quarterbacks in the last 3.5 years, I stop the bleeding, right? Get somebody, please, hopefully.
Please.
And we'll see if they can keep them off Crescent Street. And
really, that's their saying. It's not a great place. Now, you know what he has, in fairness to him, he's handled himself really well.
Yes, he has. He's done everything.
Since arriving in Hamilton. He's said all the right things.
What's there to do in Hamilton?
Yeah, well, I'm sure you could ask a couple people.
Short Uber ride to Toronto.
Yeah.
With his paycheck.
And you, but you see his body language on the sidelines.
Yep.
You know, last week when Mazzoli was underperforming, you know, you look at him, he's still just kneeling there. He's doing his thing. He's not pouting and looking at the camera.
That's right.
Like, when's my turn?
Should be me. Yep.
Yeah, I should be in there.
He's said all the right things. He's been a good teammate, done everything you'd want him to do. And he's clearly there to rehab his image. And now, if he can do that and get on the field in Montreal, I'm curious. You said you expect this to sell tickets in Montreal. Do you think it sells tickets league-wide? Because I think their next game is here in Ottawa.
No, they play Hamilton in between.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and that's when you said
they are here soon.
Yeah, August 4th or 5th or – yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But there's a Hamilton game in between, I believe.
Okay.
Which somebody was saying that maybe be the better place to start, right? That, hey, that's – as a guy who's probably the backup, maybe running the opposition offense against the D, whatever it is, that may be a lineup he knows.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
He knows best.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. It's one or the other. It's either Ottawa and then, but they're here.
Right.
Montreal is coming to town. And
yeah.
So,
does that do anything for you?
Yeah, probably not.
Okay. Do you think it will beyond the two of us in this studio?
Yeah.
I mean, they sell out here pretty regularly anyway.
I'm not sure if the last two games, I'm not sure if the two games at home this year have sold out.
There was one 2 weeks ago where right up till the day of, it wasn't sold out. And I was speaking to someone online.
The Calgary game.
Yeah, that said they got there last second.
Okay, well.
I don't know about the one
Then it has played to 99% of capacity.
Yes, that's right.
In 4 years that they've been here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't do much for me, but it's generated a pile of buzz. In the city,
yeah,
among CFL fans. So
I will. I'm not driving to Hamilton to watch or whatever, but I'll watch that game. Like, if that's going to be his first start, I'm more likely to watch that game than I was before the deal.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's what somebody said, right? Alouettes, Eskimos. Does that really pique the interest on a Thursday night? Probably not. Oh wait, maybe Johnny Manziel's going to play.
Yeah.
And we can see what happens here.
Right.
We can all get a look at this freak show a bit. Love it. Who can't wait to see that?
And then, like I said, the week after, where he is scheduled to start, I'm watching that, right? I want to see it.
Yeah. And
even if it's going to be a car wreck, let's get a look at it.
Well, and really, you hope that's what it is. I'm trying to think.
Spiteful bitch.
Yeah. He played a bit in the preseason, one of them against Montreal. And the guy's name escapes me, but had a vicious tackle and a 15-yard unnecessary roughness penalty taken against him.
Trying to make his name, maybe.
Yep. Yeah, and horse collar in Manziel. And now they're
That's
teammates.
That's a douche move.
Is what, is what I was more interested in. The guy's name escapes me.
Yeah.
Right? And he was saying...
He wasn't the Canadian who got sent to him.
Yeah, no. He was just saying, yeah, I did it. Yeah, it was late.
It
was cheap. And I wanted to know that we're here. Hey, this league's for real.
Right.
I'm like, okay. And now your teammates. So now, knowing sports guys, right, he's probably the first guy to...
I get it.
...to wander over and say, hey, man, sorry about that.
Business is business.
Welcome to town. Yada, yada.
Can I take you for a gelato? Or...
Down on Crescent Street?
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Out in the church district or
yeah.
something, right?
No, probably not.
Long heel.
interesting, just talking about business being business. you got any thoughts on the DeMar DeRozan comments? Did you hear those?
I heard he went and hung out with Drake.
Oh.
No, I know they did Chris Haynes of ESPN sat down with him and did an extended interview. I haven't had a chance to watch it in full.
I'm blown away by his Ebonics. If he said axe three times, he said it 100 times.
Kid, man.
But you're like, are you serious? Did you not at least walk and hang out on the campus of a Div 1 school for a bit?
They don't actually go. I get it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking through osmosis or something. Something could. But listening to him speak was embarrassing.
No, I didn't catch that. But well, that was for real. After he found out about the trade, he was so frustrated, and he went and hung out at Drake's house, and they just talked about their feelings for a while.
Yeah.
And that's cute.
And this is a week or so later.
Yeah.
And you're still bitch moaning about it?
I don't know how much I blame him, to be honest.
End of the day, your ass, whatever you thought it was, you got traded for a better player.
Yes. That's true. But I don't have to love it.
Okay. But at the end of the day,
I made my home here. I committed to this.
We didn't sell you for 70 cents on the dollar. We got something better for you. And I'm not saying we as in.
Yeah, yeah. But he, who wants to hear that either, right?
Okay, but that's the reality is, you know what, a week out and you go, I'm pissed off the day it happens. I'm pissed off a couple days later. And then you look at it and go, wait,
and
I'm still getting my $93 million and I'm going to play in San Antonio.
I bet you I'm pissed off, you know. November 27th or whatever it is when the Spurs roll into the ACC for the first time and I put up 45 on you or something.
Yeah, okay.
Although, maybe you got to play against the best defensive player in the game.
Well, this is it. So. This is it. A Kawhi Leonard who just passed his physical.
Yep.
And hopefully will be, if nothing else, will be primed. But I don't really, at this point, I don't have much sympathy for DeMar.
You're cold, man.
Okay, but he's talking about, you know, how great his legacy is. And a lot of people saying, better than Vince, best player ever for the Raptors. You're hearing that out there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's...
No. Yeah.
I'm just saying there's
a conversation there.
There's that talk. But yeah, you're the big no-show. You faded in a lot of the most crunch times.
The most damning thing in the clip of the interview that I did hear was, hey, now LeBron's gone. The only guy that was in our way, that was stopping us from getting a ring, is gone. And to me, that rings of, man, go beat somebody.
Yeah.
Right? Like, don't. The path is clear. You didn't have to trade me now. Yeah. The problem's out of the way.
I don't want to get better. I just want to wait for the guys who are better than me to retire.
Right. Fuck that. Right? Yeah. So,
well, that's what he's saying. Why do Casey and I have to wear all this?
Right. Yeah.
So, okay. Somebody's got to. Like,
what's true. Well, and we've talked about this before when it comes to this deal. A couple of months ago, heads had to roll. Fans were pissed. Couldn't get by one guy, a team that led by one guy, and this was – and heads rolled. And you could make – I don't know whether this coach is going to be any better than Dwayne Casey or not, but I know that if healthy, Kawhi Leonard is better than DeMar DeRozan. Heads rolled. They made a change. They didn't keep banging their head against the wall. I respect that out of Masai. This is going to work or it's not.
Yep.
But I respect he made I wanted change. I didn't want that thing to change.
You look at the last time Toronto beat Ottawa. We're talking Leafs and Senators now.
Oof, so.
04, whatever that was.
Yeah,
05.
It was 04, yeah.
Yeah, a really good coach. Had a lot of success here. Fired. Starting goalie who had outstanding playoff numbers.
Right.
Gone. Poof. Like shit's
good. This isn't working. We're going to do something else for better or worse.
Right. 06, that team should have went to the cup. 07, it did go to the cup.
Yeah.
Didn't win either year, but sometimes you go, all right, well, we've given that max effort and time. You're out. Got to make a change. I axed the man straight up. I axed him.
Last thing, and maybe we'll touch on this in a future episode. Just kind of, you know, off the top of your head, what would you give William Nylander on a contract? He's RFA this year. Got to have a contract before he comes to camp. There's a lot of talk that it might be around Pasternak money, which is kind of 6.5 times 6 years. Now, Pasternak has better numbers, but played on that killer line, right?
And Pasternak's, to me, Pasternak came up, he missed out on it, right? By a year or whatever it was.
And that'll be Nylander's argument is he's had to sign for less. I don't, right? And I wonder, like,
yeah, you're not getting Nylander for 6.5. I think that's probably wishful thinking on the Leafs' part.
I think it depends on how long, right? How many UFA, because they're not going to want to have, again, in however many years, he and Nylander, or he and Marner and Matthews all come up at the same time. Would you maybe give him 5 and then 7 to Marner and 8 to, because it matters, right? How many UFA years are you trying to buy? Those tend to be more expensive.
Does he get any UFA years there?
If you
or
gave
are you
him,
just buying up the rest of it? Is that just the rest of his RFA years?
So he's 20. You would be buying one UFA year.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe that's what keeps it a little. I don't think there's a justification yet to pay William Nylander more than $7 million unless you're buying all of his, you know, unless you give him the 8 years, right? And you're buying a ton of. You know, when you're playing with Matthews, when you're his numbers don't hold up to Pasternak. And Pasternak's playing on maybe the best line in the league, but he's a part of that. It's not like he's riding coattails on Marchand and Bergeron. He's contributing to it. It's going to be...
I'm trading that guy.
Of course you are. Everybody else is. Why
not? Yeah, but like honestly, I wonder what's going to happen with the crunch, right? With the money.
Yeah.
When it comes down to
it. I think
it.
We're just going to have bad defense. I think you're going to keep all 5 of those forwards and just... Here we come.
Yeah, well, you got to have a stud goalie.
We have
an average
goalie.
No. I'm just saying the recipe,
yep.
Your 5 tools, right? You need to have stud D, 1 rock solid goalie, and 3.
Yeah. Can you get by with 4 killer forwards, 1 almost killer forward, and a goalie, and no defense? Yeah, but
I don't think I'll be surprised. Now we'll wait and we'll see, right? If you can sign Nylander for less than, I guess 6.5 would be about as low as you could hope. I think that would be a deal if you can get him for 6.5.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'd go 7 times 6.
Well, I'd go 7 times 3.
I just mean for...
But he ain't going for that.
Well, if it's going to be that, it might, because that'd take him right to the front door of UFA, right? No one does that. You
so
sign
you're
up...
you're saying $7 million for 6 years? Or you're saying $6
million? $6 million for 7 years. No, I must be saying $7 million for 6 years. Because it matters, right? Once you start buying UFA years, it goes up a little. But no one will... No team signs a contract that takes you to your first UFA year. You buy...
For sure.
1 or 2 of those, or you come up 1 short so you can renegotiate while you still have those RFA rights on.
Yeah, while you have the RFA rights, I say you offer that guy 3 years, 6.5.
And just see.
Yep.
Yeah. And when you don't...
A little bit of show me.
The thing is that makes that probably the right approach is that there's 1 poison pill year, and it's next year, and it's Marleau. That 6.25 or whatever it is going to hurt next year, and it's probably going to cost you Jake Gardner. That's going to be a tough year. And after that, Marleau goes away. And to be honest with you, when you use our friends at Cap Friendly, you can see after that, it doesn't really matter at that point if they've given Matthews 11 and Marner 8.5 or whatever that might look like. They're okay. But next year, you got to get through next year. And so if you sign Nylander short term, it may cost you more later, but it helps you get through this 1 year with Marleau where shit's going to be wicked tight, right?
Yep.
So it's an interesting way of doing it. Could you give him 6.5 for 3 years? Maybe he puts up 90 points in 2 of those years, and now you're looking at, fuck, it's $9 million instead of 7.5.
Ask Bergevin how that works
with Subban, yeah.
With the bridge contract, go, yeah, no, we're gonna tie you over the barrel because we got you.
I think they gave him 2.9, PK Subban.
It was low.
It was 2.5, 2.9, something ridiculous. He won a Norris Trophy on that deal and said, I'd like $9 million now, please.
I'd like to be the highest paid defenseman in the NHL. Ching!
Then I'd like you to trade me to Nashville.
Thank you.
You see, they locked up Dan Hamhuis 2 years at $1.5 million.
Yeah, well.
Cap hit.
Hamhuis is just saying, I'm good here. right?
Well, he was in Dallas, right?
Yeah.
So now he's going to step in. He'll play Emelin's spot.
Good luck with that.
Well, saw a great tweet that just said, man, wait till August and buy useful pieces at half what you would have paid for them in the first week of July, right? He fits in nicely. He last year, if you look at his underlying numbers in Dallas, Dan Hamhuis played mostly second pair minutes, and most of his numbers would suggest he was a pretty good second pair defenseman, and they just got him for $1.5 million.
Well, and he'll sit nicely in that five hole.
And I think it's actually $1.25 million is the cap hit, not
yeah,
1.5.
Yeah, but I hadn't seen it.
2 years is at 2.5 total. When I first looked at it, and I'm like, that's got to be 2.5 per. Nope. Man, that's a nice deal for him to sit as a third number five or six guy. If someone gets hurt, he can step up and play for a couple weeks. That's not a bad little deal for them.
David Poyles, I don't know what's going on there. Now, short of it being, again, that tax-free state.
Yeah.
Man, he's been able to get guys short of Johansson. I think that's maybe going to be a bit inflated.
I think Ryan Ellis is going to be a problem too.
Well, what's he at?
Well, right now he's only at, again, maybe three. But he's got 1 year left, and he's a right-handed defenseman playing on their top pair.
Yeah.
That's going to get wicked expensive
yeah.
if you want to keep him.
Well, I think that's the price of doing business.
He might make a good Leaf, eh?
Yep.
Well, they all do.
Yeah. Hey, well, guess what? He ain't coming for three.
That's true. Maybe if, William Nylander
We talked about Trouba.
Yep.
Right, in the 5.5. You see Dumba signed to Minnesota.
Got six.
Yeah.
Who do you want?
I want Dumba.
He's younger. Not by much, but...
better offensive upside.
Yeah. The thing about Trouba that I think you may be downplaying a little bit is he took all the tough assignments last year, right? Like, he was the matchup guy and he did it well. And when you look at some of the charts on that home plate chart they like to trot out there and whatever, you just don't get to shoot when he's on the ice, right? Like, he doesn't allow much. So it's a different type of, he still put up 30 points. It's not great, but
it's not nothing.
It's not nothing. And he didn't get any power play time because they knew this was coming, right? That people don't talk about that very much. If I know you got a contract coming up and I got other guys who can play the power play, I'm not going to help you inflate your point. Like, Jake Gardner's not going to play the power play in Toronto this year. Zaitsev will take that back, which he didn't have last year. And Morgan Riley will play on the other one. They go 4-1 on both units. They're not going to help Jake Gardner get back to 50 points. He's probably going to get 30 this year. And see, look, you couldn't do it again.
Well,
and that was you assholes.
Okay, but he's in a contract year.
Yep.
Yeah, well, they should trade him.
Maybe. I've thought that actually for a very long time, but we don't have a lot to replace him, so I don't like Jake Gardner very much, but
some
I also don't
some
like
love him.
Mikhail Ozhiganov. So, yeah, who is the right question to ask?
Yes, I'm like, what?
Yeah. Anything else, man?
That's all I got.
All right. Let's wrap this one up. That's Talk and Sports, and we'll see you on the next one.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year.